are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Thursday edition of the podcast. My guest today is Tracy Sandler. She is the 49ers fangirl and founder of the Fangirl Sports Network. So we're going to talk 49ers. We're going to talk Fangirl Network with Tracy Sandler. She's always fun to talk to. And before we get to that, I got a couple of interesting George Kittle stats to talk about, courtesy of Pro Football Focus. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We are on iTunes. We are on Spotify. We are everywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find the streams at LockedOn49ers.com, as well as tons of other articles and content, including the latest from John Chick, who goes into the rookie performances from the first three draft picks for the 49ers. Mike McGlinchey, Fred Warner, and Dante Pettis all standing out in their first NFL action in week one. Looks to be promising future for those three guys, Mike McGlinchey, Dante Pettis, and Fred Warner, and they're already making contributions. More on that at LockedOn49ers.com. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock, or you can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. A little George Kittle nugget, and I'd already talked about on Twitter how if those of you who drafted George Kittle in your fantasy league should be pretty excited about his week one performance, and it wasn't anywhere near what it could have been even. He was easily the most targeted 49ers receiver, which is the number one reason why you should be excited for George Kittle if you're a 49ers fan and if you have him in your fantasy league. His five catches for 90 yards, solid tight end production. I mean, in a PPR league, that's 14 points. You'll take that every week from your tight end position, but he could have had a massive day. He could have had seven catches, 150 plus yards, two touchdowns. He dropped that potential long touchdown pass, and then Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew him in the end zone on another play, just barely got his fingertips on it. If he had that touchdown, I mean, you're talking tight end one production more so than even Rob Gronkowski had in week one. And so I think he's going to be heavily utilized for the 49ers as the season goes on. I think he's the guy that Kyle Shanahan really likes as a matchup weapon, and Jimmy Garoppolo obviously is very comfortable throwing to George Kittle. So those things all bode well for Kittle's future in this offense and his current production in this offense. And here's a little nugget dropped by the folks at Pro Football Focus. Quote, despite the one drop, George Kittle's 2.91 receiving yards per route run ranked fourth last week among tight ends with 20-plus pass routes. And then this from Dave Lombardi of The Athletic. And by the way, if you want 40% off your first year subscription to The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/lockedon49ers. But David Lombardi tweeted about that this is after ranking first among all tight ends last December with Garoppolo as his quarterback in yards per route run. Kittle and Garoppolo is an awesome pairing to go with how Kyle Shanahan likes to find, you know, whoever it is, whether it's Julio Jones, whether it was the reason they wanted to bring in Jerick McKinnon to have those matchup problems to create for their offense against a defense, against most defenses in the NFL. George Kittle is going to be that problem for defenses in the NFL. You know, their timing was off. They missed a couple plays in week one. I wouldn't worry about that too much. George Kittle is going to be fantastically productive in the 49ers offense if he's able to stay healthy. And I like that statistic, 2.91 receiving yards per route run ranks fourth among tight ends after he already looked really good with Garoppolo last year. He was tops in December in that statistic. And Kittle was also just the straight-up highest-graded player by Pro Football Focus for week one on the 49ers offense. So despite that drop, he still had an impact and even more things to come, I think, for George Kittle in 2018. And before I bring on Tracy, I got to tell you guys about my bookie. And I know on Tuesday I told you guys I thought it was a lock 49ers were going to beat the Lions, and the line has already moved from there after the poor showing from the Lions on Monday Night Football, and I still feel strongly about that, but I don't always know who's going to win. But if you think you do, you should go to MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use to lay down some cash and win big today. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Bet the over on George Kittle if you'd like to. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, my guest today is Tracy Sandler. You know her as 49ers Fangirl. She is the founder and CEO of the Fangirl Sports Network, which is blowing up. You can find her on Twitter at 49ers Fangirl. Tracy, thank you so much for joining Locked On 49ers again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So I want to talk a lot about the Fangirl Network and what's going on over there. And I see fangirls multiplying on your Twitter. So I know big things are happening there. But I want to ask you about, as the Michigan alum that you are, What is your perspective now on Jim Harbaugh, who has obviously coached the 49ers near Super Bowl glory and now coaches your alma mater?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I mean, my feelings on Jim Harbaugh really aren't all that different than they have been before. I'm slightly concerned about the Michigan Wolverines, so they obviously won very big this weekend, but we're playing Western Michigan. But I don't really know that my feelings on Jim Harbaugh are any different than they were before. I've always liked Jim Harbaugh. I still like Jim Harbaugh. I want him to be successful at Michigan. I think he's a really good coach. So it remains to be seen, I guess, if he's able to coach this team to a solid season. If he's not, it will be interesting to see what happens in Ann Arbor. I do think in Ann Arbor, he probably has a longer shelf life than he would have somewhere else. However, they also do like to win football games in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So it'll be interesting to see how the season plays out for sure.
Yeah. And the thing with Harbaugh was always the 4-year rule, and he would wear out his welcome kind of thing. And then I was like, oh man, It's kind of starting to go that way. And I hear some whispers about people are like, oh, he's just not a very good coach, overrated and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh man, I got to ask Tracy about that, because as someone who's like, has that perspective that you do and has followed him for so long now, I was wondering if it's something like, does he wear out his welcome, and is it a 4-year clock for him?
It may be, but I think in college that works better from a player standpoint.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, I think we'll see how this year turns out. I think he is a good coach. It's just that different coaches have different strengths. And I think he's very good at taking a talented roster that's underachieving and getting the most out of them. I think what remains to be seen is he good at building a roster?
So when it comes to the Fangirl Network, I got to ask you about this because I see fangirls multiplying. Do you have one for every NFL team now? And is it going to expand as well to the NBA the same way?
We do have one for every NFL team. This past season, we had 15 NBA fangirls. And by January 2019, we will have all 30 NBA teams covered. Maybe before that, but for sure by January of 2019. So, it has been a very exciting NFL season for us so far. We launched a new website, a new logo, 32 girls. We launched merchandise last week. So things are definitely expanding quickly at Fangirl Sports Network. That's really exciting for us.
That is exciting. And I can appreciate the work because I've been involved here with the Locked On Podcast Network and seeing how things can go with building something from scratch and putting that many people together and people that are scattered across the country. I got to imagine it's like herding cats at some point too. So I much props to you for being the founder and CEO and putting that whole thing together.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's move on to the 49ers and the 2018 season and what we're seeing going on here so far. 0-1, obviously. And I think it's funny because most people you ask, it's like, okay, this is a very tough week one game. You got the Vikings who were in the NFC Championship game last year. They've got this defense. They upgraded at quarterback on top of that. So, you know, most people penciled in, even hardcore 49ers fans realized, okay, this is a tough week. We're going to pencil in an L for this week one matchup in Minnesota. But I think the fan in people, sometimes you watch it happen and it's so much different thinking, okay, it's going to be a loss. And then it's agonizing when it happens. And I think people are a little bit more worried about the offense and maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, even if they thought that this was going to be the end result after week one anyway. Do you feel that way?
That, am I worried about the offense or Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, I mean, I just,
do I feel that people are?
Yeah, do you feel that vibe that it's like maybe not even you necessarily, but just people out there might be more worried after watching it happen rather than just the idea that they kind of were prepared for it anyway?
I think there's been some of that. I mean, I think that that's kind of the nature of being a fan. You know, you might think that the team isn't going to do well, but you're hopeful. But I think also people do know this was a very difficult week one game in Minneapolis. So not only against probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest defense in the league, in Minneapolis, as you said, major upgrade at quarterback. Dalvin Cook was back. I mean, they had a lot. There's a lot that went on there. And the 49ers, though, will be very, very much improved this year. But it was a winnable game, but really everything had to go right. Clearly everything did not go right. But I think if there's one thing that fans can point to is that with everything that went wrong, and Garoppolo said this after the game, they lost by 8 points. It could have been a lot worse. In fact, there was a point at the game where I looked at the scoreboard. Well, it's not that I looked for. I was going to tweet. I was going to make a joke tweet and be like, this is like the Minneapolis massacre. You know, there was the miracle in Minneapolis and the Minneapolis, whatever. And I was like, you know what? It's really not, I can't tweet that because it's not as bad as it necessarily should be, which I think is something that 49er fans can feel good about, that had they not made those mistakes, and those were a lot of mistakes of kind of beating themselves, they were very much in that game, and they did have an opportunity to win it pretty close until the end. So I don't think it's something that people should be concerned about. I think, obviously, as fans, obviously you want your team to win every week. Of course, that is the ideal situation. But I don't think it's something people should be concerned about. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about Jimmy Garoppolo right now. I do feel strongly he is the real deal. And you got to think about it. He had yet to have a bad game in the NFL. Eventually, he was going to have a bad game. You know, and that, I think, you know, unfortunately, it was week one. But with everything we just talked about and against that Minnesota defense, you know, I don't think it's something to be concerned about at all. I think the red zone issues are probably a little bit of a cause for concern. But some of that also is going to be chemistry. Like, don't forget, Pierre Garçon didn't play with Garoppolo this season. He was hurt by the time Garoppolo started games for the Niners. And, you know, he's building chemistry with some of those other receivers. Marquise Goodwin went out really early, and though he came back for a short time, you know, he wasn't in there very long. Jet McKinnon got injured, you know, a week before the season started. So there were a lot of factors in terms of building chemistry that I think will, in theory, right themselves as the season goes on.
That
was a long answer to your question.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer. And it's funny to go back a little bit, what you said about when you looked at the score and you were thinking, oh man, this has a chance to be a blowout. I was thinking the exact same thing. It was like maybe when it was around 24-6 and it was looking like, okay, this is going very south and very quickly, and this could end up being a blowout. And I think they showed some resilience there, being that the defense kept holding serve and kept giving it back to the offense. The offense kept screwing it up and couldn't get it together. And, you know, the drop Kittle pass, which was huge, the missed Kittle in the end zone. I mean, those two alone, maybe the 49ers win that game. And that swing of the dropped pass and then the pick six the other way. But the fact that they kept giving it back to the offense was a huge sign, and I really think that some of the things we saw on offense, you know, timing-wise, like you mentioned, can really be fixed. So definitely not time to get worried, and maybe it was the right time for not only Garoppolo and the 49ers and all the hype going on, but for fans to sort of get, you know, smacked in the mouth a little bit and be like, okay, all right, we're back down to earth here. The hype machine might have gotten crazy. Now let's go root for the 49ers to win some games, and I think they are going to still win a whole bunch of games, so... For 49ers fans out there, don't get too shook about that week one loss, I think is the thing to take away.
And yeah, I mean, I predicted them at 9-7 and I never thought they were going to win this particular game. And I think, you know, fans have to be realistic. I mean, fans don't have to be realistic. I think actually probably part of being a fan is that you don't have to be realistic, but this team is not rebuilding anymore, but this team is still building. So I think if this team is contending for a wild card spot, I would consider that a very successful season. They're still very young, and that is something also to keep in mind. And there are some very important pieces in place, but there are still some very important pieces that are going to have to get into place for this to be in a Super Bowl caliber team, and they're just not there yet. And that's okay. I mean, they're certainly much farther along now than anyone thought they would be last year at this time. Obviously, the Garoppolo trade changed everything. So the wait won't be as long, and it's certainly exciting to have a quarterback like that on the team and leading this team. And it's going to be a really fun season. But, you know, there are going to be some losses and there are going to be some close games. But I think if they're competing and they are contending for a wild card spot and fighting for one, I think that would be a huge success.
I love that. They're not rebuilding, but they are still building. I think that's very well put there by Tracy Sandler, my guest today on Locked On 49ers. You are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local daily sports podcast network. And just a reminder for those of you out there that want to get involved with a subscription with The Athletic, you can get 40% off your first year subscription. Get articles from the great Matt Barrows, Dave Lombardi, a ton of national NFL folks and other sports, baseball, is a bunch of great writing going on at The Athletic. 40% off your first year subscription. Just go to theathletic.com/lockedon49ers. Okay, Tracy, so moving on to week two and the Detroit Lions. Nick, my weekly guest here on the show, we were talking about this game. It was halftime of that Monday night game with the Lions and the Jets. And I was thinking, man, this game, the Lions come to town. This is a lock. Lock it up. 49ers are going to beat them. The line was 3.5 points. The Niners were favored. I was like, take that bet all day. Niners lock it up, beat the Lions. And then I didn't watch the second half of the game. I was having dinner or whatever I was doing, and I came back and I was like, how is the score possibly 48-17? What the hell happened? And the line already moved up to like 5.5 points. But seeing that probably makes it feel a lot easier that it was a lock. But do you feel as strong about the Niners bouncing back and winning week two as Nick and I did?
I think they will. I do think they will win this week. I think that the Niners have a very, I mean, I don't know that any game is a lock. And I think the Lions, though, although they had a terrible performance last night, they're not a terrible team. And I think one thing with week one that we have seen as 49er people and fans in the past is you can't get too in the weeds on week one way or the other. You know, don't forget a week one Monday Night Football game, which the 49ers beat the Minnesota Vikings 28-3. And then went that 5-11 that season. And if we're being honest, they were not that good. They were certainly not even good enough to go 5-11. They just got really lucky on a couple of games. So I think, you know, there's one thing about week one. So I wouldn't discount the Lions by any means. They did not look good last night. I know Stafford had a bunch of picks. It was not a great night, but they're still a good football team. That being said, I do think the 49ers will win. They're at home. I think they can, you know, correct some of those mistakes that we saw in Minneapolis. The Lions are certainly not the Vikings or even close. So I do think that this week is definitely a win for the 49ers. I think it's very possible the next 3 weeks are wins for the 49ers.
It's a rough stretch with some away games, and they've got that NFC North. And it's funny because the Lions seem like the worst team in the NFC North right now. But I agree with what you said about the Lions aren't that bad. They aren't as bad talent-wise is what we saw. Now, they got a new coaching staff, and maybe some things are going south for them. We've heard some rumblings about some veterans that don't really jive with the quote-unquote Patriot way that's going on with new coach Matt Patricia. They were worked a little too hard in the summer or something like that, so they might have to break that thing down before they build it back up again, as it sometimes happens with new coaches. One thing I do want to ask you, speaking of new coaches, one thing that stands out from John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan's 49ers is that they are so transparent. And they have brought in so many good dudes. And I love that about this current makeup of the 49ers. Do you have a favorite current 49er that you like to cover, that you like to talk to?
That is a good question. I feel I can't play favorites because I do have to cover and talk to them. So I don't want anyone to say, I heard you say that you like so-and-so better than you like me.
And they definitely listen to this show too. So you don't want to blow your cover there. Let me put it to you this way.
Yeah, I'm sure. What I was going to say though is generally, I think on this team, they are fun to cover, and it's, you know, there are a lot of guys that are great to talk to. And a lot of that, you're right, comes from John Lynch's and Kyle Shanahan's transparency, and also comes from the attitude in the locker room and the positive mindset in the locker room. So the guys don't mind talking and, you know, and being forthcoming because they're in a good mood, win or lose, because they know what's going on. They see what the future holds. I mean, obviously nobody likes to lose, but there's never been, and it's been talked about a lot, any sort of like down feeling in that locker room, even when they were 0-9 last year.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like there's a vibe where, like, the media is the enemy or anything, and they're nervous about, you know, letting their secret recipe out to the media. So it seems like a really good vibe, and it's a lot of – they targeted those types of people because that's the locker room they wanted to have. Let me ask the question to you this way. You do a five fun facts. I love those videos that you put out there on Twitter and on the 49ers Fangirl website. Is there one player or fact that you were surprised about?
Well, Richie James did a backflip in his five fun facts, which I thought was pretty cool. And then even cooler is Cole Hikutini, who was on the team at the time, came in and saw him do it and said, I can do backflip too. And then they did it together. So I thought that was kind of an unexpected, awesome thing. Gary Gilliam sings in his five fun facts, and he sings really well. His favorite movie is The Lion King, and he sings from The Lion King, and it's spectacular. So that is really fun. Joe Staley's five fun facts, as you can imagine, was hilarious. It's it was from last season, and actually, I'm going to retweet it. It was long, so it couldn't go right on Twitter. It had to go, you know, on the website, but it was a fabulous one. So there have been a lot of them. Juszczyk is great. Jared Selleck is great. Jimmy Garoppolo makes a cameo in Garrett Selleck, which always makes people happy. George Kittle interviewing Trent Taylor was a fun one. And both Ruben Foster and Jimmy Garoppolo make cameos in that one. So there have been a lot of them. They are, for lack of a better term, they are really fun to do. And the guys really seem to like doing them. It seems an opportunity for them to like kind of show their personalities and talk about something other than football with it, which I think is enjoyable.
Yeah, and it's refreshing. Do you give these guys enough time to think about their five facts, or you just throw it on them and say, give me five facts right now?
Usually we just say we're doing five fun facts, and I'll let them think about it. Some of them just like to go. Some are like, I got it, let's do it. Some of them want to think for a minute, but it's not a long amount of time. It's not like they have a day to prepare anything, but I think that kind of makes it better in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a question about your bedazzled jerseys I've seen on Twitter. If, for example, my weekly guest, Nick Winkler, who just landed a Marquise Goodwin jersey, if he wanted to bedazzle it, what advice would you give him or other 49ers fans listening to this podcast who wanted to sort of, they wanted their gear to pop? Well, what's the key there? Are you just doing the outlines of the numbers? Do you use your artistic creations and go nuts on the jersey? Or how do you go about bedazzling your jersey? What's the end result you're looking for?
So we actually did a video, not last season, but the season before with June Lynn Dallas, who bedazzles our jerseys for us. She's amazing. But we did a how to bedazzle your jersey video that you can find either at FGSN.com or at the Fangirl Sports Network YouTube page. And she goes step by step on the best way to bedazzle your jersey. So I would encourage everyone to watch it there because she really gives a great, great example. She did one for Rams Fangirl and one for me. We did two videos. And so she really explained it very, very well. So I would encourage everybody to watch and then they will know how to bedazzle their jersey.
Wait, are you so big time that you have your own personal stylist and bedazzler?
Well, there's not my own personal stylist and bedazzler, but she does bedazzle our jerseys. She has been very kind and does bedazzle our jerseys for us, which is great. They are really fun. And my Garoppolo bedazzle jersey is pretty cool, I have to say.
Okay, before I let you go, Tracy, I want to ask you about something I saw, which is the One Insider Happy Hour, the WON Insider Happy Hour event that's coming up on Thursday night, I believe. Can you tell the folks about that?
Yeah, so the 49ers are relaunching the One. It used to be called, I believe, Faith Felistas, and they are going to have a panel of me and Jennifer Chan and Mindy Bach, and Kiana Martin is going to moderate the panel, and there'll be a little cocktail hour first, and then we'll have a panel just talking about, I think, covering the Niners, being women in sports journalism, and I'm really, really excited about it and was very honored to be asked to do it. So I'm really looking forward to it. And that is this Thursday at Levi Stadium. I'm 99% sure it's at the Michael Mina restaurant. But I think it's going to be really fun. I'm so excited. So you can get tickets. I believe in it. I think it's going to be a very fun night, and I love Jennifer and Mindy and Kiana. So it'll be a great panel, and all of us obviously are friendly and friends and get along really well, so it should be a really fun night.
That's awesome. And Jennifer Lee Chan is a friend of the podcast here. And Tracy, congrats for all your success. You guys can find Tracy Sandler on Twitter at 49ers Fangirl. And you can go to FGSN.com to find all the fangirls out there and tell a friend about the Fangirl Network and their particular team, as well as their particular podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tracy Sandler, doing big things. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Tracy Sandler for joining the show. And yeah, I love that. Let everybody out there, let your friends know there's a daily podcast for them on the Locked On Podcast Network, no matter what team they root for, and they've got a fangirl at the Fangirl Sports Network. Thanks again to Tracy. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with a Film Friday episode. My guest from The Athletic, Mr. Ted Wynn, who is the film master when it comes to NFL football and especially the Bay Area team. So we're going to talk Niners and get deep into that tape with Ted Wynn on Friday's show right here on Locked On 49ers.